Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our listeners throughout the world, and also the four individual, distinctive and talented players of the game who've joined me for the show this week. We welcome back with great pleasure that very popular player, Paul Merton, the stylish player, Stephen Fry, the charming, entertaining player, Linda Smith, and the oldest player on the show. He's been with us in the first when the show first started over 34 years ago. That's Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the centre of Broadcasting House, in the heart of this great metropolis of London. And in front of us, we have a really hot, warmed-up audience because we're experiencing a heatwave for the first of 2 days in here in London. Let's get on with the show. Paul Merton, will you begin? The subject is, oh, ideal for this hot weather, what I wear in bed. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Marilyn Monroe said the only thing she wore in bed was Chanel No. 5, and I'm rather similar, except that I do not bother with Chanel's...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of Chanel.
Chanel.
That's I said Chanel and Chanel's.
You did. There was a genitival S just as just as Clement was buzzing. He said Chanel's.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he said Chanel, and as much as I'd
I
love
said
to
Chanel
have you...
first time, then said Chanel's. I was going to say Chanel's perfume, because I was aware that I'd said Chanel before, and having played the game for 12 years...
the word go. I think you're wriggling on this one, in spite of the fact that Stephen
Well, when
Fry...
it goes out on the radio, we'll find out who was right.
In spite of the fact that Stephen Fry has already decided to back up the German or take over from the German,
I did buzz before the genitival S
was... he did, actually. Yeah. He did. He buzzed very rapidly and very, very capriciously. And so, Clement, I said that is a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject.
So you were allowed to buzz in the middle of words?
He buzzed at the end of the word before you changed it into another word, or tried to try and wriggle out of it. I have decided that Clement Freud is a correct challenge.
And not carrying the audience with you.
Clement, you have 53 seconds. What I wear in bed, starting now.
53 seconds is a very long time to describe what I wear in bed, because I wear nothing at all in bed. I have my skin, such bones as press against the skin.
Paul Merton challenge.
Dare I say repetition of skin?
Yes. You don't have to dare.
When you say two skins, anybody could have gone on to three skins. Who knows what could have happened after that?
Oh.
You're being delighted,
you, Paul.
Paul, a correct challenge. A point to you. 40 seconds available still on what I wear in bed, starting now.
I let the air get to my body, and why not? Lucky combo. I'll just say air twice.
You were going to say Chanel's again or something like that. Linda, you challenged on that occasion.
Yes, I did. I think there was just a general loss of the will to live there from Paul, wasn't
there? Yes, well, we call that hesitation. 35 seconds are available. Linda, you have a point, of course, and what I wear in bed is with you, and we're dying to hear starting now.
What I wear in bed depends very much on my mood. Sometimes I wear a Yogi Bear outfit, and when my boyfriend joins me in the bedchamber, I rifle through his picnic basket. It's lots of fun. Sometimes I just wear something a little more casual than that. Perhaps I'll dress up as Homer Simpson or some other...
Paul Merton
was
challenge.
Was there an in there?
There was an in there, oh. Just, yes.
Homer.
Yes, you see. Homer.
I passed before she got to the end of the word, Nicholas.
Actually, she was speeding up, and then suddenly she erred. And maybe
to err is human, I think.
Mm. Yes, and especially when you're in bed, my love, it's delightful.
Concentrate, Nicholas. Yes. Concentrate.
My mind had gone. I was with you there, Linda, all the way. I don't wonder what I would have worn. Anyway, listen.
Doesn't this count as sexual harassment in the workplace?
hot audience does not deserve to have this picture put in their head.
It's titillation, not titillation, not harassment. 14 seconds. Paul, you have another correct challenge, another point. What I wear in bed is with you. 14 seconds starting now.
Before I get into bed, I have a long, hot bath, which I draw from the taps into the porcelain receiver. I then...
Linda, challenge.
So surely this is deviation.
Why?
The question isn't about bathing. It's about what he wears in bed.
No, but he did say, and he hadn't really got established, before he gets into bed, he draws his hot bath into his porcelain thing from the tap.
I felt we were in for a long session in the bath with Paul there.
Well, I know. You were, but you didn't allow him to go in too long in the bath. He'd gone a bit longer in the bath, and I think it would have been deviation. But so, Paul, benefit of the doubt, still with you, another point, 5 seconds left, what I wear in bed, starting now.
Then I get out, towel myself from head to toe, and that is the moment I jump luxuriously into the bed.
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and you won't be surprised to discover, of course, that with the other points in that round, he's in a strong lead at the moment. And Linda Smith, your turn to begin. The subject, sunbathing. Very apt for this time of year in this country at this particular moment, but talk on it starting now.
Sunbathing. Sunbathing is all very well, but it's no substitute for a proper wash. It doesn't get you clean. Protecting your skin from the sun's damaging ultraviolet rays is very important when sunbathing. Select your skin protection.
Stephen, your light came on.
Repetition. A repetition of the word skin.
I don't know why you laugh. She did repeat the word skin.
Oh, did I? Perfectly. I thought I said skin and skin care.
Well, skin, it's a repeating of skin, even if it's hyphenated. The skin is the word, and this is radio,
so
and
it's
what you
have.
Another
couple of skins, then.
Yes. Which adds up to...
Stephen! You had a correct challenge, repetition, and the sunbathing is now with you. 43 seconds are available, starting now.
Much the same as daughter bathing, I suppose. I've never really done either, not having children myself. Sunbathing, though, as probably spelt on Nicholas's card, is with a U, not an O, and refers to that awful habit of lying on beaches being drenched.
Linda, challenged.
I think he said awful habit.
Yes. Prostitution. It's a thing that harlots do. It's awful. Absolutely foul. It's prostituting one's body to the rays of the earth. It's awful. You knew that.
Even if he put a slight asterisk in front of the awful, I still don't think he was actually deviating. It was too harsh, Linda, really. So we give him the benefit of the doubt. He keeps the subject, a point for an incorrect challenge. 31 seconds still available, Stephen, on sunbathing starting now.
That ghastly smell of Hawaiian tropic coconut and frangipani that reminds me every summer that it's the season again for this kind of procedure. A thing I loathe, I must confess. Most people like hot weather. I find it repulsive. I'm a winter animal. For me, it's muffling up against the cold air, not the beams of the great solar eye, which burn and itch and twitch and make me sneeze and dribble and drool.
Poor challenge.
I don't know that the sun makes you twitch.
But your skin twitches, doesn't it? And you know, and you're very uncomfortable. And I think he was giving some descriptive phrases to say how uncomfortable and miserable you are if you are burnt by the sun. Mm. And the benefit of the doubt, once again to Stephen, 6 seconds available, sunbathing Stephen, starting now.
Slip, slap, slop is the advice they give in Australia.
Linda, challenge.
Oh, I was foxed by the fact that it was 3 words that sounded nearly the same.
Very honest of you.
In fact, we're 3 different ones. Isn't it marvellous, the English language, really? Hey? It's a rich tapestry, isn't it?
I know, but we'll love hearing from you, Linda. 4 seconds. Sunbathing still with you, Stephen, starting now.
Cover your skin to protect against UV radiation.
Clement Chant.
Repetition of skin.
Yes, you had skin before.
Five skin at last. We're safe now.
Yeah. Clement, you cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go. It's sunbathing with you starting now.
Beaches are best...
I'm sorry, Stephen challenged before
there was
the whistle.
Never 2 seconds. There was a kind of half a second hesitation.
He did hesitate.
Best.
He thought the whistle was coming. I have to be fair. When this audience goes home and listens in a number of weeks' time to this recording.
Time beaches are best.
Yes.
And see and how one can say
Janet
that in
Staplehurst
less than 2 seconds.
You put the whistle up to her mouth and you thought, that's it. But,
I believed you when you said 2 seconds. I was foolish.
You won't make that mistake again, though, will you?
No.
But if it's 2 seconds, Janet must put the whistle up after 1 second. And Stephen definitely got in just before, so you know, there was a hesitation. No, that's only fair. I have
to
interpret
the rules.
Oh, for God's
sake, can't you all say how this bickering about the time is driving us apart?
Well, I have to justify everything, otherwise they'll all be at my throat. Right, Stephen, half a second on sunbathing, starting now.
Prepuce.
Summon challenge.
I thought it was a hesitation there.
No hesitation, no. So, Stephen Fry was endeavouring to speak then as the whistle went, and he gained extra and other points in that round, so he's taking the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton. Clement Freud and Linda Smith follow in that order, and Stephen, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is spilling the beans. You've spilled a few beans in your time, particularly in your autobiography, but tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
If I were to spill the beans about Nicholas Parsons and tell you that the young girl who passes by the name of Nicolette and moves around Hampstead Heath...
Linda challenged.
Well, he did say, but it really, that wasn't why I challenged. I just didn't want to go any further into that story.
I was hanging on every single word.
I think you'll find most of it sub judice, so just...
The benefit of the bar once again, Stephen. I'll make sure that you get it the next time, Linda. And there are 53 seconds. Spinning the beans, Stephen, starting now.
We live tragically, don't we, in an age of checkbook journalism and kiss-and-tell biography. An age in which, oh dear, I've repeated age.
Yes. And Linda got in even without your prompting there. So, Linda, you have got a correct challenge. Spilling the beans, 46 seconds, starting now.
Spilling the beans is a reprehensible habit. I would never dream of doing such a thing, which Stephen has just done. I, for example, know that Nicholas, our esteemed chairman, likes...
Stephen Fry challenge.
Unless there's someone else. I can't think of an esteemed chairman called Nicholas.
You're a rotten audience.
You're
applauding the insults as well as the laughs. I would almost like to take a point away from him for that. Anyway, I'll tell you what, I'll show you how generous I am. I'll give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your challenge. But Linda gets a point because she was interrupted. She keeps the subject. There are 35 seconds on spilling the beans, starting now.
Mr. Parsons enjoys hiding in people's gardens wearing a long black wig and then sneaking up to their patio windows and going, "It's me, Heathcliff, it's Kathy," and pretending to be...
Oh, Paul, you're challenged.
It's all true.
Well, you should know, because you were there, weren't you?
Absolutely.
So, Paul, hesitation, 24 seconds. Spilling the beans with you, starting now.
Well, if you've got a chef who's been out in the sun and he's got heat stroke, the chances are he'll start twitching, which is the very thing you want to avoid when you're asking that cook to walk across the floor of the kitchen with a pan of beans. There is nothing that customers hate worse at the finest...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Grammatic.
Hate worse.
You can't hate worse.
Isn't worse a German sausage? Because I hate it. I can't stand stuff.
So, Clement, yes, we give you deviation there. 8 seconds. Spinning the beans, starting now.
Spinning the beans means telling people something which is secret or not in the public knowledge, and this might be a good time.
On that occasion, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, so he has got that extra point for doing so. He's moved forward. He's in third place, just behind Paul Merton. Stephen Fry is in the lead, and Linda is not far behind all three of them. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Ludo. Tell us something about Ludo in just a minute, starting now.
Ludo has absolutely nothing to do with spinning the beans. On which subject?
Stephen Fry challenge.
I may have been a little precipitous there, but I thought he was hesitating. But
I thought it was hesitation too, Stephen. Yeah. So you
between
have
a... two words.
Is there any way to hesitate?
Is there any way? Right, Ludo, with you, 55 seconds, Stephen, starting now.
From the Latin, I believe, I play Ludo. Also, of course, the shortening of the name Ludovic. Kennedy, for example, is known as Ludo. There's a game called Ludo.
Linda challenge.
Well, yeah, I'm just wishing I hadn't, really, because there
was
nothing to say about it, but there was an error.
That's right, yeah. Yes, yeah. Right. This time I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
See?
Just
I'm
when I don't want it.
I remember these things. 45 seconds for you, Linda, on Ludo, starting now.
Pluto.
And
well, it's hesitation. She clearly doesn't
get
want
going,
the subject.
My love.
I'm sorry, I was miles away.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 43 and a half seconds on Ludo starting now.
It's been a while since I played Ludo. If I remember rightly, each competitor has a different colour, don't they? Like blue, green, yellow, orange, that sort of thing. And you have to throw a six to start. And it's a game played with dice. And
Stephen challenge.
Well, a sort of mixture of repetition and hesitation,
right, yes. It is an exciting round. This is a most stimulating subject, isn't it? Really set their brains alight. So 30 seconds are available. You tell us something about Ludo now, Stephen.
There are various pastimes based on it, like frustration, and indeed things like Trivial Pursuit can be said to have a kind of ludic version of the original game. But I think the
Paul challenge.
There was two rapid eyes.
Right. 21 seconds. Ludo's back with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's a fascinating...
Clement challenge.
He said well last time.
You did say well last time. Clement, Ludo, with you. 19 seconds, starting now.
Ludo's a game I never cared for a lot because Halma was more fun. Both games, I said game before...
Paul challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. And you've got the subject back. 13 seconds. Ludo, starting now.
At the Potsdam Conference, Winston Churchill, Joseph Stalin and President Roosevelt all sat around 6 o'clock one evening for a fascinating game of Ludo.
Simplified challenge.
Repetition of fascinating. In his previous round, he started, well, it's a fascinating, and Clement interrupted to say repetition of well.
But you did. Well, it's not... like you're listening to every word I say.
Yes.
So, Nicholas, do I understand this right? You can never use a word that you've ever used before in your life. It's rather a harsh rule.
No, if you repeat that word in any one round, that is repetition with the rules of just a minute, and he did say fascinating before. And so 4 seconds is available for Stephen to tell us something more about Ludo starting now.
Homo Ludens is a marvellous book about...
Linda challenged.
Well, no real challenge. I just felt educationally insecure with all this. I thought I might take the opportunity to try and sell you a bunch of violets. Buy a bunch of violets for my poor girl. Oh, you're a gentleman, Mr. Pryor. No mistake.
All right, Linda, the audience appreciated your interjection, so we give you a bonus point for that. But Stephen gets a point for being interrupted, and he keeps the subject of Ludo. And there is 1 second left, starting now.
Aviaris Yaktar.
Well, that exciting subject gave a lot of points to all our players in that round. Stephen Fry still in the lead. He's just ahead of Paul Merton. Then comes Linda Smith and Clement Freud, equal in third place. Clement, it's your turn to begin. Now, the subject is TV dinners. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I think it's very sad that people eat the same TV dinners regardless of what is shown on their television sets. My suggestion would be that there would be a different TV dinner for gardening... Four.
Paul, you came in first, and we all heard the falls. 46 seconds are available for TV dinners with you starting now.
I think there's something inherently lonely in the concept of a TV dinner. It's like those pot noodles things. You have to be incredibly alone in the world to want to pour hot water onto powder and think somehow that's going to do you any good. TV dinners, I've had quite a few of those when I lived in bedsits in the 1980s. There was no proper...
Linda challenged.
There was a...
Yes, when you lived in the...
There was no... Was there?
Was there, yes, there was.
Really?
No, this is correct. 25 seconds. TV dinners with you, Linda, starting now.
TV dinners. I'm not sure that I've ever eaten an actual TV dinner, which seem to appear in old American films where people have those little trays with compartments that have to be thawed out and then put into the oven for quite a long time until they suddenly re-emerge as these lovely little repasts consisting of a starter and a main course and some kind of a pudding. And Americans would sit in their...
Paul challenge.
I thought she was going to say American again, but she said Americans.
Very nice.
It's one of those things, Nicholas, when somebody says a word like Chanel and then they say Chanel's, you see, it's a difference. The S makes it a different word, in fact.
I think you made your point very vividly. Yeah. In the end, I'll be so embarrassed, I'll have to give you an extra point for not
go on, then. But... insist.
Right. So she didn't repeat American, she did Americans, and you unfortunately got him with 1 second to go, gave her another point, and she keeps the subject. 1 second. TV dinners starting now.
TV dinners is...
So Linda Smith got points in that round. She's equally with Paul Merton in third place, just behind Clement Freud, who's a few points behind our leader, who's still Stephen Fry. Linda, it's your turn to begin. The subject, working from home. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Working from home. I work from home. It basically means you are your own boss. Regretfully, as I'm a lazy and shiftless worker, I have been forced to threaten myself with the sack recently. One hopes that yours truly doesn't find out that for years I've been fiddling the company. I've made thousands out of that, Linda Smith. She's too stupid to realise. I've been nicking stationery every day that I've gone up to that...
Poor
Linda, in a true sense, you're just hurting yourself here.
So what is your challenge?
Well, she's deviation. You can't steal from yourself, because then you end up with you've still got it. If she's still
criminals, Paul, always make one mistake.
Do they?
That's mine.
She was stealing from herself, deviation. That's a very clever challenge.
It is,
actually,
isn't it?
Yes.
Don't look at me so amazed.
I agree with you, Paul, and you have 34 seconds on working from home starting now.
I don't do any work at home at all. In fact, all my work in...
Stephen Challenge.
Well, I thought he was a little hesitant. I don't know if I'm...
No, I don't think he was.
No,
I don't think so. He still has the subject.
I don't think so. I think he's just basically quite shy.
Yes.
It's a bit of a handicap in this show.
30 seconds are available, Paul. Working.
How many?
30 seconds.
Oh, I don't need that much. I'll do it for 10. Clement might do it for 15. He'll make you better off.
We'll see what happens after 10. Working from home is still with you. 30 seconds ago, starting now.
I work from home. I'm a gigolo.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
Work.
Mm-hmm. He said work before. Yeah. You're quite right, Clement. Well,
listen. You're not allowed to use cognates of the word on the card, then?
No, not cognates. No, definitely not. You can repeat any of the words.
That's a thick London accent, isn't it? A cognate.
Cognate.
So you can just say working, but you can't say work.
You can use either the phrase or any individual word again, but you can't use part of the word work. He said repeat work. Clement, listen, heard it. 29 seconds available, Clement. Working from home starting now.
Edna St. Vincent Millay, who was a famous 20th century American poetess, wrote a verse called, I burn the candle at both ends so deep into the night, and are my friends and oh my foes, it throws a lovely light.
Stephen Challenge.
Of course, he may say that poets work from home, but just simply quoting a poet is not the same as talking about working from home, is
That's
it?
That's what she was doing at home.
Yes, I dare say she was, but it's not really discussing the subject on the card.
The way I take Stephen's point is that you did not establish that in writing her poems she was working from home.
I got the impression she was. I didn't think she was sat in an office writing that.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make this decision. I'm going to leave this final decision to the audience.
You're going to be fine.
No, you can be the final arbiters and judge on this very delicate situation, because you can interpret it either way. If you agree with Stephen's challenge, you cheer for him. If you disagree with his challenge, you boo for Clement, and you all do it together now.
Boo!
You agree with Clement Freud. So I'm sorry, Stephen.
That's all right, I'm
Clement,
sorry.
You have the benefit of the doubt. The audience on your side. 14 seconds, working from home, starting now.
Housewives work from home, ironing and washing, going out to shop and cook and...
Linda Challenge.
Hesitation.
It was hesitation, Linda. 8 seconds. Tell us something more about working from home, starting now.
Working from home involves an awful lot of staring out of the window and drinking 500 cups of tea a day. Not everybody...
So, at the end of that round, what is the situation? Because Linda was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, she's moved forward. And, oh, it's very interesting, actually, because we're moving into the last round. Linda is only just in second place, but equal in third place are Paul Merton, Stephen Frank, Clement Freud.
Get out of here!
Get out of here!
And I mean that quite literally.
Yes, isn't it exciting? And I know the only reason you come on the show is for the excitement that it generates, Stephen. Oh, gosh. It is good to have a good sport on the show, isn't it? So this is the last round, and Stephen, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is On the Crest of a Wave. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I'm on the crest of a wave because the show has pointed to this great moment of excitement and climax, the summit and apogee of all quiz show moments, which is that this...
Full challenge.
It was a hesitation, sadly.
It was a hesitation. On the crest of a wave. And there are 51 seconds available, Paul, starting now.
We're riding along on the crest of the wave and the sun is in the sky. Lots of listeners listening to that will know and recognise that as Ralph Reeder's theme tune to the gang show that was very popular in the war years and afterwards. It's one of those songs that manages the rhyme horizon with eyes on, which I think is a very good use of rhyming.
Stephen Challenge.
I was a bit hesitant there again, but I'm probably wrong.
No,
I usually am.
No. He was keeping it going.
Yeah, he was. You're right.
Pace.
I'm sorry.
He was, yes. I mean, he was.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please, Nicholas, accept that. I made a mistake.
He was recreating.
It won't happen again, I promise.
All the Boy Scouts there. He was back there.
Were
you in the gang show?
He's out of bed again, nurse.
Do you ever take part in the gang show?
I was never in the gang show, were you?
No, but I used to watch them, yes.
Clearly. You spent a longer time watching Scouts, didn't you? Yeah. Scouting for boys.
Right. 31 seconds, Paul. We have someone here who was a Boy Scout, weren't you, Clement? He was very, in his youth. In his
young, well, I didn't think it was last week.
No, I don't think the gear would suit him today, but as a schoolboy. Right, 31 seconds. Paul, still with you on the crest of a wave, starting now.
If you want to go surfing, then you need two essential ingredients. First of all, you must have the sea, and within the ocean, there should be big waves.
Linda Challenge.
It was there should be. Bit of a
hesitation. No, it's an echo. There's a funny echo in here. I've heard that before. It's a funny echo, isn't it, Nicholas?
It is a funny echo, but funny I echo. Think I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt on this occasion to Linda and say, yes, we'll call that hesitation, Linda. 19 seconds, Linda, on the crest of a wave, starting now.
People say they're on the crest of a wave when everything in their life is going fine, when they're really happy and nothing could be better. I have never felt on the crest of a wave. I feel much more that I'm sort of losing my sandals in the mud at Southend. It's a different kind of sensation, a bit more challenging.
Well, Linda, with that late surge, speaking also in the whistle end, gained that extra point. She only finished just in third place, 1 point behind two who are equal in second place, that is Stephen Fry and Clement Freud, but just 2 points ahead of them, so they're all very equally poised. They all got almost the same amount of points, but Paul Merton with two more than anybody else. You are the winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only means to thank my four excellent players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Linda Smith and Stephen Fry. Also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's kept the score for me, blown her whistle so charmingly when the 60 seconds was up. Our producer, Claire Jones, and also we're indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter. From our audience, from our four panellists, from everybody else and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in next time we play Just a Minute.